Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're up to Daf Gimel Amid Aleph at the very top line. And the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah back on Daf Beis Amid Aleph. As you recall, we started off our Mishnah. The Bi'echad Bi'odor Mashmiyim Ala Shkolim V'Ala Kilayim. But then the Mishnah continued on. That's on the first day of Adar. On the 15th of Adar, then Koinus Megillah B'Krachin. We do all tzorchei rabim. That was the lashon of the Mishnah. On to Gimel Amud Aleph. Eilahein tzorchei rabim. What are, you know, tzorchei rabim is a very broad term. What does that mean? The Gemara now brings from a Tosefta, which enumerates numerous other tzorchei rabim. Number one, Dona Dina Mominis, Vedina Nefashis, Dina Malkis. That Bezin is fully in action, and they're done Mominis, Nefashis, Malkis. Upoidin Erchen, Vacharoman, Vehegdeishois. And people had said, I'm giving money Cherem Lebedekabayis, or I'm being Makdish something. So now the Gizbar has to be Poida, they bring it in front of Bezin. The word erchen is a little bit inappropriate when you're talking about poiden, because erchen, we know what the amounts are. It says befeirish in the Torah. Erech ploini alai, depending on that person's age and that person's gender, we have all types of numbers in the Torah, whether it's 3 shkolim and 5 shkolim and 10, 15, 20, 30, 50. So it's all spelled out very clearly. So the word poiden over here is a little bit inaccurate. Rather, it means collecting the Erchen. Person said, Erech Pleni Alai. The Bezin presumably has a special committee of collectors that go to collect the funds. But the Cherem and the Hegdish means someone who was Machrim, a particular item, or Makdish, a particular item. And now the Bedek Abayis says, I don't need those items. We have to be poided. So the Bezin would be in charge to get everything podui. Umashkin as a soita, Chasasholm, a woman that is suspected of an affair. So, you have to go and be mashkeher in the Beis HaMikdash. V'sarf in a sapora, if we need more paraduma water to go and be matire people, this is the time, v'sarf in a sapora. V'yorf in eglarufa, chas hashom, they find someone out there in the wilderness and we don't know who's the one that killed him. We go and measure to the closest town, and then you have to go and decapitate a young egla. V'roitz in Eved Ivri that says, I don't want to leave my balim. I have an owner who is so fantastic, I want to stay there until Yoivul. And then you have to go and Verotza Adonimus as Osnei Bamartzea. You have to go and bore a hole in his ear. Umatarnis and Metzoira, if the Metzoira shows all the signs that he's no longer Tomei, so then the Bezin will decide, yeah, today he's Tar, and he'll begin his whole cycle and his whole process of being Matayr himself in terms of the Shtei Tziporin and Tzeglachas, and a week later bring his Karbonois. Mafarkin is a minimally al gabi hamayim, and they remove the mano from on top of the mayim. Our girsa is, like you see in the Gemara, mi al gabi hamayim, and the word minol is therefore spelled incorrectly, because minol usually means a shoe. Here it means a man oil. Man oil means a lock. You go and open up the lock, which is on top of the Boires Hamayim. What is all of that about? Because since it's at the end of the winter season, therefore it's important for people to have water, starting, as you know, in the Mediterranean area, in Eretz Yisrael and the surrounding countries, there's usually no rain or just minimal rain throughout the whole summer, and it can get very hot. During the winter, they store up tons and tons of water in these Boires. During the winter, they were locked under lock and key. And now it comes Chamishu Suba Adar. They open it up for people to be able to draw water and drink during the summer months. And don't put the cover back on because people need it to go and drink the water. Don't put the lock back on. Why don't we stop here just for a moment? Now it sounds from this long list that we just had now that all of these things are done at Chamishu Suba Adar, which is a little bit difficult to understand, because vos epis, what's the inyan dafka chamishus ba'odra that they have to have the bezin getting together, be dan din amamnis and the fashis, din malkis, and paraduma and orphan eglav, vos epis chamishus ba'odra. So this is our girsa, and the way the Meforshim learned, the Rambam and the Meiri learned Pshat in this Gemara, that the Gemara is telling us that since it's now the end of the calendar year that goes from Nisan till the end of Adar, we normally think of the calendar year starting from Tishrei to the end of Elul, but as we know from the first Mishnah, Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, Arba Rosh Hashanah, and so therefore for certain purposes, it's a Nisan to Nisan type of situation, and that being the case, the Beis Din would like to kind of close out the books for the year to be able to start Rosh Chodesh Nisan on a brand new footing. So therefore, any remaining cases that have not been adjudicated during the year, they want to take care of them now on the 15th of Adar, and presumably try to finish it off before the end of the year. In other words, within the next 2 weeks, try to take care of all loose ends and close the books. So that would apply to all of these things. And that's why Chamishus of Adar, they said, Rabbi, let's get it done. Let's get it done now. It's soon going to be Pesach. We're going to have to make preparations. Let's finish it off before the end of the year. And that's the reason for this long list. Another reason is that throughout the winter, presumably it was difficult for people to get to Beis Din. It was difficult for Beis Din to sit because of the difficult roads, because of the heavy rains, the snow, the mud, and all the rest. Finally, the Beis Din is in session on Chamishus of Adar, and they have to take care of numerous communal needs. They're taking care of the drachim and the rechoyvos and the mikvois and all that. So, famous expression is, you want to get something done, give it to a busy person. Beis Din is now in session. They're busy. Go and tell them, Rabbi, let's try to take care of all the outstanding matters, all the loose ends. We're in session anyway, and we're in charge of all the communal affairs. So let's continue and try to take care of everything involving the community. So that's the Pashup Shat in the Gemara. However, there are others that learn. If you look in Tak Mechadatin, you look in the Hagoy Sagro, this is not referring to so much Chamishus Abadar, but this is really referring to Chol HaMoed. Why is it referring to Chol HaMoed? Because at the very beginning of Masechtas Moed Katan, you have a similar Mishnah that tells us that normally you're not allowed to do Melacha on Chol HaMoed, but communal affairs, Tzorchei Rabim, you are allowed to do. And the Braisa, which we've just learned now, is not referring to the Tzorchei Rabim of our Mishnah, to do Nachamisha Usa Badar, but really is referring to the Tzorchei Rabim, which are enumerated in this braisa, and this braisa is not referring to Chamishus Abador, it's referring to Chol HaMoed of the Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkis. These are the things that you are allowed to. So not that you're mechuyev dafka to do these things in Chol HaMoed. Of course not. However, these things are permissible to be done on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do your normal, regular malach on Chol HaMoed, but these Tzorchei Rabim are permissible. Now, how does this come into our Gemara? After all, we're not talking about Chol HaMoed, we're talking about Chamish Uzabador. And the reason is because the Gemara is going to ask now an apparent stira between our Mishnah and between Moed Katan. And before we continue on, there's another girsa here. Instead of Mefarkinus Aminalmi Al Gabi Amayim, you'll see on the left-hand margin it says Mefarkinus Aminalmi Al Gabi Ho'imum. Imum means that if you go to a shoemaker, as he's manufacturing the shoes, he has the shoes on top of such a shoe form or such a metal thing. I'm sure many of you have seen that, if not recently, at least in your youth, that you put the shoe on top and then the shoemaker bangs on it and he adds heels and soles and all the rest, whatever you need to have get done. So imum, that's that shoe form, if you will, that you put the shoe on, that the shoemaker uses to either manufacture or repair the shoes. And what it's saying is, Mefarkas Aminumi Algamim An Ha'imum. On Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do any malacha except for Malachas Dover Ha'aved. So therefore, if someone needs shoes to wear on Chol HaMoed or on Yontiv, you're allowed to remove the shoe that is already completed from on top of that imum, from on top of that form. But don't put it back. In other words, don't start new malach on Chol HaMoed because of the fact that it's not a malachas davar of it, unless a person has no shoes or something. Anyway, that's not part of the Tzorchi Rabim. That's rather just a final footnote in that braisa. So that's another thing that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, this would have nothing to do with Chamisha Osar Be'Adar. And that's why our girsa is better, that you're allowed to open up now those covers, those lids. It's like a manhole cover to the Bayrais, so that people will now be able to go and draw water during the summer months. Anyway, that's the braisa. Zokti Mora Tamon Tanina. Now we go to the first Mishnah in Mesechtes Moed Katan, and it says in the Mishnah that on Chol HaMoed Mashkin Beis Hashlochin Umetzainen Al HaKvorois. Two of the things that you're allowed to do is, number one, Mashkin Beis Hashlochin, you're allowed to go and see that the fields that need irrigation, to go and irrigate them, otherwise the field can go bad. Umetzainen Al HaKvorois, and you put the tzion again is the line that you put next to around the caver, so people should know, stay away. If you're a kohen, you don't want to become tamei, and if you're holding on to truma taharis, you don't want them to become tamei. So you make a tzion. So now the Gemara's kasha is loikvar tzainu meodor. I don't understand what you're saying. In our Mishnah, one of the things that we said was mitzainen ala kvaris. If you go back to the Mishnah of yesterday, Dav Beis Amud Aleph, after it says, Oisin kol tzorchi rabim, the final line of the Mishnah is, Mitzainen esa kvaris, v'yoytzen af ala kelayim, Mitzainen ala kvaris. So now the kash is, Chamishu sabador, we just put the lime on. Now it's a month later, it's Chol HaMoed Pesach. Chol HaMoed Pesach, you have to go and already put new lime? Freitimor lekvar tzainu miador, they already took care of this in Adar, the 15th of Adar. The tiposer, and the answer is shiyorit shetuf shel gisham and v'shotvay. Very simple answer. What's the reason why they had to put lime on the 15th of Adar in the first place? So we learned yesterday because during the winter months the lime may have disintegrated, may have dissipated, may have dissolved as a result of the elements. Or it could very well be that from Chamishu Sabador until Pesach, during the 3-4 weeks interval until Chol HaMoed, 4 weeks, there might have been a heavy downpour. As you know, although it's the end of the winter season, but depending on when Purim and Pesach fall out in a given year, oh, you might still have a heavy downpour. Many of you may recall that, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, there was snow on Erev Pesach. And it was caused a lot of problems for those people that were traveling to their Pesach programs or hotels or whatever. Anyway, regardless, the point is that Avada, if by Chol HaMoed on Pesach, as well as Chol HaMoed Sukkos, if the lime was there, they didn't have to be Mitzayin. If, however, in those years where the lime had dissolved, yeah, then they had to be Mitzayin yet again. And our Mishnah says, V'yoytzen af ala kilayim, that when it comes to the 15th day of Adar, we go out to inspect and make sure that there's no kilayim around in the fields. And the Gemara is saying now that they did this as well on Chol HaMoed. So Freit Timura, why do they have to do it on Chol HaMoed? Freit Timura, like Varyotze Mi'ador, didn't they also already do it from Chamisha Asabator? In other words, the same kasha that Gemara is asking now. First kasha was about the Tzion on the Kvarim, and although we didn't quote that in the Braisa, but apparently the Braisa, or the Mishnah, Mesechtes Moed Katan, says another thing that we do on Chol HaMoed is Yoytzen Af HaKelayim. The inspectors go into the individual fields and they uproot any kelayim that they find. They already did it on Chamishu Sebe'adar. We're talking about in those years where the season didn't fit that evenly with the Jewish calendar, and therefore it was still early in the year, that both Purim, both Chamish Uzeh Ba'adar, as well as Chol HaMoed Pesach. And so it's very possible, but that Chamish Uzeh Ba'adar, you went out in the fields, there was no growth yet, nothing had really grown. Of course, we know this is the time now that the trees start to sprout and the crops start sprouting from the ground. That's why we make the bracha of the new Ilonois and the sprouting leaves and the flowers, etc. Now during Chodesh Nisan. But this was one of those years where Purim came out early, and therefore, on Chamish Uzeh Ba'adar, we didn't have yet any tzmochim that were nikar, So the inspectors had nothing to do. They couldn't uproot any kelayim because there was no kelayim yet. So then you have to wait until Chamish Usar, not Chamish Usar, but until Chol HaMoed Pesach. David, I see you have a question. David Fishman? No. Okay. Very good. I just saw that you were unmuted. Fine. And we continue on. Zokti Mori Yetzvait.
So this this mission in Moed Katan, we're saying this is what our mission meant when it cited the Tzarchei Rabim, all these.
That's a machlokes. According to the Rambam and according to the Meiri, the Tzarchei Rabim that we enumerated in that price and that Tosefta at the beginning of the Shir, that is referring to Chamisha Usa Ba'adar, that in addition to all those things which are listed in our Mishnah, they also did those enumerated in this Tosefta. However, according to the other Mefarshim, the Vilna Goin and the Takna Charetin and others, this has nothing to do with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Tzarchei Rabim, are those which are enumerated in our Mishnah, nothing more, nothing less. And that Tosefta is adding the things, or is actually enumerating the Tzarchei Rabim, which are not spelled out in the first Mishnah in Moed Katan. There in the first Mishnah just says Tzarchei Rabim. Now this Tosefta goes and enumerates all of those things listed above. The only reason why we brought it, after all, we're not learning now Hilchos Chol HaMoed. We're now learning Hilchos Chamisha Usar Ba'adar. The reason why he brought it is because of two cases which seem to be a little repetitive. That both Chamisha Usar Ba'adar, we said in our Mishnah, that number one, Tzainan ala Kvaris, number two, Yoitzan ala Kilayim. But there in Moed Katan, it says that on Chol HaMoed, they also did those things. A month later, they have to do a Tzion again. A month later, the inspectors have to check out on the Kilayim again. And the Gemara says, we're talking about in those types of years where there were special circumstances. There was a heavy downpour between Chamish Usar and Chol HaMoed, that's why you had to be Mitzayin again. Or because the season was a little bit still too early and nothing grew by Chamish Usar Ba'adar, and therefore the inspectors went out on Chol HaMoed.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Zog Dimar, Minayin L'Tzion, both here in our Mishnah, as well as there in Tzisefta, in Mesechtes Moed Katan, it says that you're supposed to make a tzion. Tzion means you're supposed to make markings. The Taklan Charetin said you put lime around, and with that you know that there is a kever there, so that people should avoid Chas V'Shalom getting close to the kever. Question is, Minayin L'Tzion, is there a makar for this? I mean, it's a nice minig to prevent people from becoming tamei, but do you find a makar in the Torah? And the Gemara says yes. And the Gemara is going to give us two separate Mekairis. One a pasuk in the Torah, and one a pasuk in Yecheskel. Ezhok di Gemara Minayin L'Tzion. So, we have a long series of names. Reb Brechia, Reb Yankov, Bar Bas Yankov, B'Shem, Reb Chunya, Debras Chivrin. Debras Chivrin means a town called Beis Chivrin. Some say it's Beis Choyroin, which is a town which is cited in Tanakh. Or Reb Yoisa Amri lo Reb Yanka Bar Acha b'shem Reb Chunya Debras Chivrin was a different set of Amiroim that said in the name of Reb Chunya, again from that same town, Bras Chivrin or Beis Choyroin. Reb Chizkia Reb Uziel Berei de Rav Chunya de Beis Chivrin b'shem Reb Chunya de Beis Chivrin. So everybody agrees it was Reb Chunya de Beis Chivrin. The question is, who are those that said it in his name? It says in the passage by Metzora. The Metzora is Mechutz L'machna. What happens if somebody is walking Mechutz L'machna and by accident gets close to the Metzora? V'tomei tomei yikra k'dei sh'teyah tuma k'ira l'cho b'piyah v'aymeris l'cho p'rosh. The tomei tomei yikra is that the Metzora, when he sees somebody approaching him, he tells him, stay away. I don't want you to become tomei as a result of getting close to me. Ah, so we see that there's an inyan with his tuma that you're supposed to make an announcement of sorts and tell people, stay away. Dr. Yomara, that's what we do over here by the putting up of the tzion. We have this kever. The kever, chas v'shalom, will cause people to become tamei. So by putting on the line, by putting on the tzion, it's as if the tum is kar l'cha b'piyah, v'imeres l'cha p'roish, stay away, don't get too close. So that would be the makar for putting on a tzion. Rabbi Ila b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Nachman says, I have a befeirush posik, not a posik in the Torah, but in other words, in the Chumash, but I have a posik in Yecheskel. It says in the posik, "Va'ovru o'ivrim ba'aretz, V'ro'o etzem odom uvona etzloi tzion. The oivrim will go through the land, they will see etzem odom, the bones of an individual, and they're going to build next to it a tzion. And now the Gemara darshins each one of these words individually. The etzem, the odom, the bona, the etzloi, and tzion. What did we learn about etzem? Etzem ikan shematzainen aluat samois. That if you have a large quantity of atzamais, how large is a large quantity? Says Taklin Chadatin, a roiv hakav of atzamois, regardless of whether this is roiv minyan or roiv binyan, if you have a large quantity of atzamois and they are buried, then you have to make a tzion for purposes of those atzamois, that a person should not be mile on top of that roiv hakav. Okay, that's the word etzem. The next pasuk, next word is etzem odom. Odom ikanchi betzainen ala shedav al gugoylus. That what happens if chas v'sholem a person passed away and there is the skeletal remains? You have the shedra is the spine, and it's not just the spine but all of the vertebrae, etc. Val gugoylus is the skull. It's a machlok between beishami and beisil whether it's both the shedra and the gugoylus, or the shedra or the gulgoilus. But either one of them is sufficiently significant. If you have to have both shedra and gulgoilus, gulgoilus will not be enough. But if you have either one, then either one is choshev. And again, you have to make a tzion around that, so people shouldn't chas v'sholem become tameh. And then it says in pasuk, uvona, mikan shemitzainen, al gabi evin kivua. When you make the tzion, go and pour the lime on an evin kivua, that means an evin which is mechubar. Why does it have to be mechubar? Because im oimer at al gabi evin tlusha. If you're going to say put the lime on top of an evin which is tolush, that can easily be moved, what's going to happen is there'll be a big storm and that boulder, that rock, is going to move from the place where it was until now, and it's going to move to somewhere else. And then someone's going to stumble over that rock and say, oy, 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 I must have touched now a tzion, I must have touched now a kever, I am tameh, and all of my taharis that I'm holding and all my truma is coming tameh. But really it's not tameh, because this tzion was not here, it was really a block away, it was just because of a heavy storm, a big or a wind, blew it. That's why you put it on an evin kavua, one of these real heavy, heavy duty boulders like you have in Riverside Park, which don't move, and therefore you don't have to worry that it's going to move from one location to the other. Yes, Barry.
Two questions. First of all, this last point, if it's an evan, it's not makabel tuma. So how can a stone roll and then be metame something else?
Good.
And earlier I was wondering, the obvious pasuk is the ivir l'sitin michshol. Just as a general social policy, so people aren't metame, the kohanim aren't metame themselves, or people aren't metame kachem, you want to advertise a danger.
Okay. Okay, so two very good points. So let's take point number one, we're not talking about that the stone becomes tameh. We're using this stone as a marker. And in fact, bear with me one moment. Let's learn the next shtickle, and then we'll get back to your question. Because the pasuk continues on. Ro etzem odom uvona. And now we're up to the word etzloi. Etzloi l'mokim tahara. What means l'mokim tahara? You don't actually put the tzion on the kever itself. You put the tzion a couple of amois in front of the kever. And the reason is that the Taklin Chadatin, because a person who's walking around and looking at his iPhone and therefore is really not focusing attention, if you're going to put the tzion on the kever himself, boom, he's going to fall over the tzion and he's going to say, oi, 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 I just became tameh because I was mile on top of the kever. And so therefore we move the tzion a little bit closer to the public so that if you hit the tzion, at least you know that you haven't gotten to the kever. So that's the benefit of putting it etzloi. Lemukim tahara, that a person shouldn't stumble on the kever itself. So now let's get to your question. And your question was that if it happens to be a stone is not mekabel tuma. You're 100% right. But the stone here is not being used as something, a medium of being mekabel tuma or not being mekabel tuma. The stone is being used as a permanent landmark, permanent marker, so that people see the stone, and the stone is in place, and has all this lime on top of it. That's strange. Most stones are brown, or gray, or tan. And this has this white, shining lime. Oh, I know why. The reason is because it's a tzion to go and identify that there's a caver right behind. And then if I put on my glasses and I see and I put down my iPhone, oh, I taka see 4 or 5 amas further in, there's Nebuch a caver over there. Oh, I'm so happy that the Bezin put up this tzion so that I shouldn't become tummy. So that's the answer to your question. The second question you asked about, if the evil I see to Mikshal, if the evil I see to Mikshal is a vada, a lav in the Torah, and that tells every individual, don't, chas v'sholem, go and trip up your chaver, either physically, by putting a mikshol in front of a person who is nebuch blind, or, like Rashi says in Chumash, and like Chazal Darshan, anybody that is an iver bedavar. In other words, he doesn't know what to do, he has a question on the law, or a question on particular practices or customs, and you go and tell him the wrong information to mislead him. So that, of course, is l'fnei evil l'tzion l'michshol. Don't go and mislead a person by putting up all different types of hurdles and causing that person either physical, financial, or psychological, or emotional damage. But that's not a clarion call to bati dinim, that they have to go and make all different types of markers and signs to prevent people from having problems. I mean, it's a nice thing that you put up signs and you put up tziyunim and landmarks, but it's not a requirement based on lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is a lav, don't do bad things. It's not an asay that you have to do the following good things. And next word in the pasuk is tziyun. Tziyun mikan letziyun. Oh, that's what we're learning. This is the din of a tziyun. Now, we finished the drasha, and now the braisa continues and explains that although it says umatz, it's really im matze even achas mitziyenes alva bishein mekayim and kein amal aleha tamei. The halacha is, as we said a moment ago, that you put the tzion etzloi, meaning look one line above lemokim tahara. You don't put the tzion on the kever itself. You put the tzion somewhat removed from the kever. But nevertheless, when it comes to hilchas tumah v'tahara, people were very, very meticulous and scrupulous. You remember we learned back at the end of Maseches Psachim that you had a person that unfortunately was a bad person. You had a kohen, for instance, that was being mefagel karbonos of a fellow Jew because he had some sort of complaint against him. Therefore the Chum said, you know what? You're going to go and touch pigel. Your hands are going to become tamei. So people were very, very concerned about tumah v'tahara. Remember the toises that we looked up? How's that going to help? You're going to go and say it's going to become tummy. If he doesn't care about damaging somebody, he doesn't care about the tumah. And the answer is no. When it came to tumah, people were very, very careful and very scrupulous, meticulous, etc. So even though the tzion itself was on a makam tohar, nevertheless, they were gozer midrabanan. If you only found one tzion, even though we don't keep the tzion on top of the kever, it's removed from the kever. Nevertheless, they said, if you're mile on top of the tzion, you're also tame. Who knows, maybe the stone was closer to the kever than you expected. Maybe they didn't do a good job. Maybe even though it was a heavy boulder, somehow it did get closer to the kever. Anyway, you got to be machmir, amal alea tame. Because I say that meis mitzuyan for your nosen tachter, that by mistake or what have you, that in fact there is a caver under this tzion, even though the tzion should have been made a little bit removed from the caver, but maybe they got too close, they weren't careful. However, hoyushtaim, if you found two parallel to each other, two such tzionim, hamal lein tar, then you can assume everything is tar ubenayin tame, meaning that you had one tzion to the right, one tzion to the left, and in between you had an open area. So now, the svara is, why did you have that open area with two tzionim? It must be because the Bezin was so careful, they made a tzion both on the right side and on the left side. People coming for achvais from the west, and people coming from the east. Either way you came, you had that tzion from both sides. And in between, that looked like empty karka, that in fact was the mokum of the kever. So therefore, if you were to sit on or bend over one of those tzutziyunim, then you're tohar, because there are two of them. But in the middle, that's the kever. However, im hayachodesh bintayim, if you noticed that the space in between the two tziyunim was plowed, harihenki yichidiyos, then you have to be nervous. And in fact, we have two separate kvarim, one under the right line and under one under the left line, that there were two taka, two kvarim. And if that's the case, the b'nei nitzor, that empty space in between, which was nechrash, which was plowed, that you'll assume was fine. That was regular karka. That means the two sides, meaning the right one and the left one, those you have to assume are never tamei. Tani, eimetzayin ala basar. What happens if you don't have bones, but you only have nebuch flesh of a mace? Then you bury that, but don't make it tzion on the basar. Why? Sheminesak ala basar. Because the basar is going to decompose very quickly, within probably a month. So let's assume, like the Takla Chadatin says, that you buried a kazayas. In no time it's going to be less than a kazayas, and it won't be metame. And therefore, if you're going to put a tzion on, and people are going to by accident stumble on it, they're going to say, uh-oh, I just walked over a mess. I am now tame, and all the food that I have, and all my kelim are all tameim. And they're not tame, because there was only basa there. And this is already a month later, 6 months later, or a year later. And therefore it's no longer metame. So therefore, even though there is short-term tuma, as long as that kezias is intact, but the long-term is that it's gunished, and we don't want people to be nichshol in the sense that they're going to take taharis and kodshim and truma and burn it, when really they happen to be tar after all. Rabbi Yusta bar Shunem bo kumi Ramana, and he said, Ramana, what about the initial taharis that are really tamei? In other words, within the first week or two after you buried this basar, if you're not going to go and put a tzion, people walking over it, they're going to assume that it's tar when it's really tamei. Amalezi told the mutter she's calculated by the shom, but he's calculated by the oilam. It's, I rather have a situation where for the first month, in other words, not the shom means for the first hour, meaning for the short term, that there may be a mechshul. You're right. It's true. For the first week, first 2 weeks, whatever, until the basar decomposes, you're right, then, chas v'shalom, you're going to have a situation of taharos, which are really tamei. But I prefer having that kilkul, v'yiskalku v'loilam, rather than having long-term effects, where if you're going to put the tzion on, it's going to stay there for 6 months or a year or whatever, and then people are going to be metame the taharos unnecessarily. Okay, on to the next mission. Zuk the mission. We spoke about the kalayim. So what did we say about the kalayim? That on Tes Vov Be'adar, or the Mishnah Mesechtes Moed Katan, the Braisa, what do you do with that kalayim? You have to go and uproot it. Now, what did you do with the uprooted kalayim? Now, we're not talking about the individual farmer. See, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they sent out, the Bezin sent out people that made announcements in every shul and every besmedrish and every marketplace. They put up kolkoiras. The people should be very careful about kilayim. But unfortunately, the nature of people is that some people were tardy and they didn't bother. Now it comes Chamisha Usa Ba'adar. They sent out inspectors to make sure that there's no kilayim growing anywhere. Okay, and what did they do if they found kilayim? Zok the Mishnah, Amr Bihuda, Perishoino Yoikrin Umashlich Lefneim. Initially, what they used to do is that the inspectors would go and uproot all of the kilayim, and they'd throw it down in the front and the face of the owners. The reason why they threw it down in the face of the owners, says Takli Charetin, to go and be mavayish them, that they should be ashamed that they didn't go and uproot the kilayim themselves. However, Mishirobo Oivre Aveira, when many Oivre Aveira increased, Hoyimashlich Nidrachim, instead of throwing it down on their farm, they went and threw it down in the middle of Broadway, in the middle of the street. Hiskinu, and then subsequently, they made a third takana, Shimafkirin Eskolasoda, and the inspectors in Bezin were mafka the entire field altogether. Now, what's going on? So the Gemara is going to explain. Omer Bihuda, Tani, Omer Bihuda says in the Braise, Barishoina Hoyu Oikrin Umashlich Lefneim. The inspectors would go and uproot the kelayim. And the balabatim of the farm would have two, they would be delighted and they would be overjoyed for two reasons. Number one, because the inspectors did a great job in pruning the field, and I didn't have to pay for this. It's being paid from tax money, from the municipal funds, and I'm getting free pruning because I don't want to have vines of grapes growing in the middle of my grain, in the middle of my tvor. I don't want any type of kelaim. It only ruins the crops. So I'm getting free pruning. Because by throwing it down on the ground, any grain that was getting mixed up with the grapes, etc., guess what? All my cattle came over and my flock of sheep, and they had now free fodder, free food. So I had two simchas. And therefore, Mishrabo Ivraveira, so when people saw that, they say, you know, I have a great idea. I'm going to wait for Chamish Usa. Let the Bezdin's inspectors come and let them do the dirty work. Then they would go and take the uprooted crops, tvu or whatever, and throw it into the street so the animals would not be able to eat from it. But they still had one simcha. So they say, at least they had the benefit of the free pruning. And then therefore they were misakin. We're just going to be mafka the whole field. So therefore, if you're not careful, mister, you could lose the whole field because someone can come over and be zocha min a hefker. Now, since we spoke about the inyan of hefker, the Gemara goes off on a tangent for the next few lines and talks about what's the makoyer of hefker bezin hefker. Minayin shefker bezin hefker. How do I know that bezin has that koyach to go and be mafkir, to go and take away a person's property? The chassid says in the pasuk by Ezra. In the times of Ezra, they wanted everybody to be older to Eretz Yisrael for the second base of Mikdash. And believe it or not, only a small crowd got together. Many other people who had been living in Bavel for the last 70 years had already established roots and businesses and residences, etc., and they were a little bit nervous about moving to the new land, going back to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, Ezra said, whoever's not going to come within the next 3 days, we're going to go and take all his rechush, all his possessions, and they're going to become chayim. In other words, they're going to be mafkirim. And he's going to be separated from the kahal agoyle, from the rest of the people in Golus. So what do I see from this? That whoever doesn't come within 3 days, the Bezin has a right to go and confiscate his property. So that's the makor of Hefker, Bezin, Hefker. But now the Gemara goes one step further. We know that if you have a property which is Hefker, and you have crops which are growing there, anybody's allowed to go and take from those crops, and you do not have to go and give Meiser. Why don't you have to give Meiser? Because there's a pasuk that tells you that the only time you have to go and give Meiser is for those people that don't. He doesn't have a chelik, and therefore you have to go and leave for him food. You have to leave for that niyam food in the fields in terms of leket shikha and peya and things of that nature. However, when something happens to be hefker, he has a chelik in that hefker just like you have. And everybody has the right to be zochem in a hefker. And therefore, you're potter from giving meiser from anything of that nature. So, if Bezdin is mafker a field, you don't have to go and give meiser. Frank Timora, how do I know that? So, Timora, Rabbi Yonis and Bereid of Yitzchak Bar Acha, Shomulam and Hadot, he learned it from the following Mishnah of Braisa. The halacha is that when it comes Shmita year, don't add an extra month and make it into a leap year of 13 months. Also, not in Matzoi Shvi, it's not in the 8th year. In other words, the year right after Shmita, do not add an extra month. But if you did it, Harizuma Beres, it does work after all. Okay, we're going to talk about why and where shortly. But in the meantime, it says don't make an Ibi year in Shmita year. However, if you did it, it works. That extra month in the year of Shemitah, as we know, the Shemitah year, you're potter in the Trumas of Maestris. And so if you made it into a 13-month Shemitah year, you're also going to be potter from Trumas of Maestris. So Frank Tiamara, I don't understand. Aren't you making that 13th month potter in a Maestris? And the answer is yes. If that's the case, now I have a Makar, that Bezdin has the right to go and make things, such as adding a month, which will make a Ptur Min HaMaestris. Oh, so you have a right, the Bezdin has that koyach to Patur Min HaMaestris. Fine, we're going to come back to this shortly. In the meantime, the Gemara says, Hu Ad Kedoin, Loi Patur Min HaMaestris, Hu? Ad Kedoin Shvius. I understand why in Shemitah year you don't want to make a 13-month Shemitah. Why don't you want to make a 13-month Shemitah? Because after all, you are now prohibiting people from working in the fields, not just for 12 months, but for 13 months. And after all, farmers need to work in the fields, they have to produce crops, they have to produce food, as well as the Takna Chadaton points out that we need Omer for the Karban Omer, we need Chitim for the Shtei Halacham, and therefore, by adding this extra month, then it's going to be problems. We won't have a lot of crops available. People will need to eat, and therefore they will take from the all of the Seirim and all of the Chitim. There won't be anything left for the Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, don't go and add an extra month. So I understand why in Shemitah year. But Matzoi Shviyas Mai, the year after Shemitah, what's the problem? That's already a normal year. Why can't you make a leap year? It says, Yimara Omer Reb Oven, Rebun Shleir L'Rabbeis Be'Isr Chodosh. Isra Chodesh means that you cannot go and eat from the new Tvua until the Karban Omer is brought on Pesach. So if you're going to add an additional month, people are dying to go and eat from the new Tvua. After all, during the Shemitah year, they weren't able to plant anything or harvest anything. So they quickly planted at the beginning of the eighth year. In other words, the first year of the Shemitah cycle. They're all longing and craving for it to get a fresh piece of cake, a fresh piece of pizza, a fresh challah, fresh matzah, etc. As soon as the 15th of Nisan comes, the 16th of Nisan comes along, first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, when they bring the Karban HaOmer, and now you're telling them, fellas, you got to wait another month. Another month! I'm so hungry! I want to eat a new matzah! I want to go and eat! Etc. So it says the Gemara, you're pushing off the Isser of Chodesh, and that's why I make it only 12 months and not 13 months. Reb Zeira b'shem Reb Luza Hadot Diat Omar actually hitir Rebbe Lahavi Yerek Mechutz La'aretz La'aretz. This concern about not making a 13-month Shemitah only applied years ago before Rebbe was matir to import food from Chutz La'aretz Eretz Yisrael. Once they were matter to bring in and import food from Chutz La'aretz, Shviyas Shoshar Shnei Shavua. Then there's no difference between the seventh year being Shemitah year and any other year, because the whole concern was you're not going to have enough food. You're going to have plenty of food. You have all this imported food from outside. Why was Rebbe Makbid initially not to go and import food from Chutz La'aretz? After all, people are hungry. People have to eat. So the Takna Chadaton says that the reason is because when they transported the food, they would often transport with it the earth, the gush afar, to go and preserve it, to keep it fresh. And the problem is that since it comes from Chutz La'aretz, it always has a suffix that Tumas Eretz Amim, because in Chutz La'aretz the Goyim were not careful about where they buried their dead. So you might be bringing in a offer which is Tameh, and because there might have been a grave there, and that would be a very grave situation. So therefore Rebbe initially did not permit it. In later years, I guess he saw that it was an even more grave situation, that people didn't have enough food, and therefore he permitted bringing the food in. And therefore, even in Shemitah year, you're now allowed to make 13 months. You don't have to worry. And if I'm not mistaken, don't hold me to it, but if I'm not mistaken, the forthcoming year in Tishrei is going to be both a Shemitah year as well as an Ibur year, a leap year. So you will have both coinciding, but we don't have that problem because in Eretz Yisrael they import tons of food from Chutz La'aretz. Anyway, Tony Ein Ma'abrin. Amr Mana Hadodiat Omar Brishoina Shoyu Hashonim Kitikonon, Avalach Shepshein Hashonim Kitikonon, He Shviyas He Shar Shnei Shavua. That's our Girsa, but the Takna Chadaton changes that He Matsoi Shviyas He Shar Shnei Shavua. Meaning that what the Gemara is telling us now is, just like we said a moment ago, that nowadays you could make a 13-month Shemitah year, nowadays you can also make a 13-month Matsoi Shemitah year, meaning the eighth year or the first year of the new cycle. Why? What about the Isra Chodosh? Says Remana that was when the Shonim Kitikonan, which means that there was enough room in the cycle to go and have a good crop and harvest it and bring the initial barley on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, so that everything will be mutter, the Chodosh will be mutter. Therefore, don't delay it another month. Va'achshav today, says Ramana, she'en eshanam ki tikanan. Very often the situation will be, especially if the whole reason why we're adding an extra month is because the season is a little bit out of whack, and therefore by the time Chamish Usa B'Nissan comes along, Shisha Usa B'Nissan, when you're supposed to bring your carbon oimer, the grain may not be finished yet. It may still be raw. So it's good to add one more month, so it gives a chance for the growing season to finish off the growing and ultimately the harvesting of the grain to be able to eat it. So it's no major problem to extend the year for a month. And in fact, it could be very welcome to the farmers because the tvua is not ready yet. Zokti Gemara, Tani Shel Beis Ram Gamliel, Ibrua Mamatzoi Shvius, Miyad. Then in fact, in Ram Gamliel's times, the Bezin would go and be Ma'aber Matzoi Shvius Miyad. What means Miyad? That already in Tishrei, they would already announce, Chevra, you should know that Adar is going to be a double Adar. Then they didn't wait until close to the end of the year, till Adar, to decide, are we going to add another month? We're not going to add another month. Already Miyad, at the beginning of the year, they already announced we're adding the extra month. Omer of Oven, in Min Hadar, Les At Shema Min Oklom. You tried to bring a raya from before. Remember, how did we get into this whole business of the Shemitah? Because we're trying to bring a raya that Hefker, Bezen Hefker is such that it patters min ha-maisris by the fact that we can add an additional 13th month to the Shemitah year. See the Chacham have that koyach, even though people are going to be potter from Truma Maiser for yet a 13th month. Says Rav Ovin, in min hador, if that's your raya from Shemitah, less achma minoklum. You don't have any proof from what we just learned. Why? Because what's the reason why we make the Shemitah year? And what's the reason why we make the Ibayur? Ibayur means that we make a leap year. We add an additional month. Shemores chodesh aviv shemreyu sheyaviu bechidushai. The reason is because it says that Pesach has to be bechodesh aviv. Chodesh Av means the beginning of the spring months. And if you're going to allow for the differential of 11 days every single year, then very quickly after 2, 3, 4 years, you'll find out that Pesach will be in the middle of the winter. And then another few years later, Pesach will be in the middle of the summer. And then it'll be back in the middle of the spring, etc. The point is that the reason why we make the Ibiyur, the leap year, is to align the winter season, basically the solar year, with the Jewish year, with the Jewish calendar year. And therefore, that's the reason why we do it. That being the case, explained the Taktan Chadatin, when the Chachamim saw that it's necessary to make an Ibiyur, this is a Dovah D'Araisa, this is not a Drabbanan. When they added on that extra month, the Torah says you have to add an extra month. No, it's true, the Torah doesn't say you have to do it in the Shemitah year. But if Chazal, if the Sanhedrin decided this is the year to go and do it because everything is out of whack in terms of the seasons, so when they do institute it, it's not a Hefker Drabbanan. They're being Mekayim, they're fulfilling a requirement in the Torah. And therefore the reason why the 13-month Shemitah year is Potem and Amaisris is not because of Hefker Bezen Hefker Drabbanan. The reason is because they're fulfilling a Din D'Araisa, where the D'Araisa is add an extra month. So therefore you have no raya min hador from that case. So, but right, we want to know what's the raya that Hefker Bezen Hefker is so potent that it patters min Amaisris. Omar do. He says, the Haida Omar do. Therefore, we're going to bring a raya from another case. This other case is a Mishnah or Braisa in Mesechtes Kila in Peah, where it says, if you have a Godish, Shleit Luka Tachtov, Kolan Noges Ba'ara Tari Hein Shalanim. As we know, the din of Leket is that as the workers are harvesting in the fields and they are cutting the tour, very often one stalk falls down over here and another stalk falls down over there. And when they forget that on the ground, that's called leket, and you have to leave that for the aniyim. Fine. What happens if subsequently the same workers or other workers now are collecting all of the cut tvua from the ground, and they make a godish, they make a heap, and they make the heap in the middle of the farm? And guess what? Underneath that godish, there was a little bit of leket. that we didn't allow the aniyim to come and collect it yet. So I don't know where the leket begins or ends. And therefore, what we say is, kol noiges baretz, that bottom layer of tvua, which is lying on the ground, hari hein shel aniyim, all of that belongs to aniyim. It doesn't really belong to aniyim, because after all, it's only a couple of stalks here and stalks there. But nevertheless, since I don't know, the Chacham said, you know what? Next time, be more careful. Don't put your heap on top of leket, and therefore, anything touching the ground belongs to aniyim. Anything touching the ground belongs to aniyim. That means that's halach of hefker, bezdin, hefker. And since it belongs to aniyim, they're not going to have to give meiser. The amirav ami b'shem Shimon ben Lakish. The Beis Shammai. This goes according to Beis Shammai. Why? Because it says that we're making it hefker to the aniyim. Now this is a basic machloket between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether Beis Din can go be mafker only to aniyim, or do they have to be mafker to aniyim vashirim together? It's not only a question of Beis Din. Does a person have the power and authority to say, this item that I have, this jacket, this hat, this pen, I want to be mafker to all the aniyim? Is that effective? Or does it have to be the hefker is both la'aniyim ulashir? So Beis Shammai holds that you can make hefker for aniyim alone, and since we're saying that that bottom level, that bottom layer of tvua, all belongs to the aniyim, and it's patim and a meiser, so he holds that the hefker is effective to patim and a meiser, and this hefker la'aniyim is effective. The ik Beis Hillel, if we're talking about Beis Hillel, aniyim oichlum asrin, you can't go and make a hefker for aniyim alone. It has to be a hefker for aniyim and for ashir. So therefore, if the aniyim want to collect the leket, for sure, let them collect the leket. However, ma'aser, they have to go and get ma'aser, because the hefker was not effective. The Amalei Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi, when he heard this, he said, Shemanu shupata mi ma'aser divya koil mishum knasa. Said Rabbi Yossi, excuse me, you don't have to say there's a machlek Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether or not you can make hefker laniyim or not. Bottom line is, when the Beis Din makes something hefker, it's going to be potim and a maisus, even according to Beis Hillel. Why? Mishum Knasa. We are putting a penalty on this individual. What's the penalty? Next time, don't build your godish, don't allow your workers to put up a heap, unless they made sure that the ground was totally clear from any leket. The fact that they were not careful about it, even Beis Hillel would agree in such a situation that the bottom layer, midrabanan, has a status of leket now, and it'll be potter min ha-meiser. So, if anybody asks you, how do you know that hefker, bezin, hefker is strong enough to go and potter for meisers, yeah, don't learn it from the case of Shemitah, because that's a diaraisa. You're going to learn it here from the case of leket, where the Chachamim put a knas, and even Beis Hillel would agree that it's going to be potter min ha-meiser. So, the Chachamim have that koyach of hefker to potter min ha-meiser. Dr. Mishnah Weiter. Now, this is, in truth, the Mishnah that should have come all the way at the beginning of Dav Beis, beginning of Masechta, because we started off Rosh Chodesh Adar Mashmiyim Al Hashkalim, and then on the 15th day we do a whole bunch of things. And since we spoke about that whole bunch of things, we got a little bit off on a tangent about Metzayin Nesakvarois and Oikin Nesakilayim, and you have to lay the Megillah on the 15th day. But the real reason why we brought this Chamisha Aser is for this Mishnah, to go and tell you that this is the progression when it comes to collecting the Shkolim for the Beis HaMikdash. After all, our Masechta is Masechta Shkolim. So, Chamisha Aser Boy, on the 15th day of Adar, Shulchanos, Hayu Yoishvin Ba Medina. Shulchanos, of course, means tables, but a Shulchani means a money changer. So, what they had was, they put up on every square block or in all of the marketplaces, in front of all the shtiblach, in front of all the shuls, everywhere they put up these makeshift tables and money changers, so that anybody that wanted to go and give the machzah a shekel, he would have no excuse. Everywhere and anywhere there would be big signs, here you can go and give the machzah a shekel. So not that these shulchanos were so much a collection facility, but rather Takna Charetin says, what happens if you are a tourist coming from Chutz Laretz, or you're from a different medina or whatever, and you don't have machzes and shekels, you only have dollars or euros or rubles or whatever it happens to be. So then these money changers, would you change the money so you'd be able to go and get a machzes shekel and give it to the gizborim for the Beis HaMikdash? When it says a Yoshua Medina, Takan Charetin says two pshatim, either in Yerushalayim or in fact b'chol Ari Yisrael, throughout in Tel Aviv and in Bnei Brak and everywhere else, they also had these shulchanos. That's on the 15th day. B'chav hei, now 10 days later, on the 25th of Adar, Yashuv HaMikdash, now the Shulchanis started sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, right outside the Beis HaMikdash. Why? To tell everybody, Rebbeisai, if you haven't given your machzor shekel now, now is the time. Because it's 5 days from now is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we need the monies to go and be totem the lishka for the new karbanis. So therefore that was the signal to everyone that you're running out of time. B'Yoshua Mikdash, Hischil L'mashkein Esmi L'mashkein. What happens from the 25th and on, people are still dilly-dallying and delaying it, they're not bringing the machzor shekel, then the Bezin and the Gizborim would go and take mashkoinos. Mashkoinos means collateral. Esmi M'mashkinen, from whom would they take collateral? Levim Yisraelim. Notice we left out the Kohanim. We're going to come out to the Kohanim shortly. But they were Mashkin, Levim Yisraelim, V'gerim V'avodim Shechrorim, Avoloi Noshim V'avodim Muktanim. Noshim V'avodim Muktanim were potter from giving the Machzor Shekel. We'll see more about the Ktanim in a moment. V'chokotim Shehizchel Ovel Lishkel Al Yodai. And if the father started giving a Machzor Shekel on behalf of his son, the Kotan, then Al Yodai, Lichkol Al Yodai, Shuv Eina Paisik. Until the cotton starts taking it in hand, that he starts giving the machzor shekel himself, then the father remains mechuyev to go and give on behalf of this child, even when the child grows up, because he took upon himself this obligation to pay on behalf of his son. Notice it says in the Mishnah that says that the noshim avodim ktanim, they were not the mashkein. So we're going to see in the Gemara, it's true they didn't give a mashkin, but he did have a obligation to pay. Well, let's wait till we get to the Gemara in a moment. Now we spoke about Levi and the Israel with a mashkin, but ein mashkin is kahanim and ne darke shalom. What does darke shalom have to do with kahanim? Normally darke shalom, we talk about not discriminating against, for instance, Gentiles. Ne darke shalom, we want to make sure that everybody lives in peace and tranquility. What does this have to do with kahanim? We'll see a mitzvah in the Gemara in another moment. In fact, why don't we take a short break over here. We'll go to the Gemara, then we're going to go to the second half, because the second half gets us involved in other matters. And the Takan Charetin splits it up into two Mishnayos. So apparently in earlier editions, in fact, there were two dots, and we had the Gemara. So we'll go to the Gemara, we're going to come back to this part of the Mishnah in a moment. So skip to the Gemara, zuk to the Gemara. Ein mashkin sektan. You don't take a mashkin. Hold it tovoya toivim. But it sounds like, but you are toivaya. You go to a cotton and say, pay up. So Timur Hadot the Tamar, Bishahivishte Saris. Oh, although we're talking about in our Mishnah about Ketanim, it depends what, how do you define the word cotton? Abim Loi Hebi Saris Loi. Loi Badar. What is this all about? So you, if you remember, it says in the Pasuk, who has to go and give the Truma to the Beis HaMikdash for the Machzor Shekel? Kolo Oivel Akudim Mi Ben Esrim Shon of Amala. Whoever is Oivra al-Pekudim, what's the definition of Oivra al-Pekudim? We're going to have a machloikis at the end of today's blot. But the pasuk continues on, be ben Esrim Shon of Amala, you got to be 20 years old. So if you're not 20 years old, you're considered to be a koton, even though you're 15, 18, 19, 19 and a half. For these purposes, you're a koton. And therefore, that's what the Gemara now is distinguishing between the various definitions and years of Ktan. You don't take a mashkin from ktanim, but you could demand payment from the ktanim. That's talking about that he's already over bar mitzvah. He's already 13, 14, 15. You don't take a mashkin, but you can be tovei and say, young man, you're bar mitzvah already. You got to give your machzor shekel. If he's really a cotton, he's not even bar mitzvah yet, then not only do we not take a mashkin, but we are not even toiveya. So therefore, the Takan Charetin says we have now three time periods. If you want to take a quick look at the Takan Charetin, it's on the start on the but the very end of the first wide line, all the way down below. Takan Charetin is all the way below on the left-hand side. You see at the end of the first wide line, it says Gemara. Then go to the second wide line. And now in the middle of that line, it says Ulam Mashkein, Ein Mashkein, Achehei Ben Chav, V'sholish Chilukim Medavar. Now we have three Chilukim. Konjulehei Beis Saroys, if he's only 10, 12 years old, Ein Toivin Oisei, then you don't even ask him for her money. He's not even bar mitzvah. Hey, beisaros, toivin oisai. Shenasim bezeh barchiyu with rabban. Avleim a mashkin. You're teveya, but you don't take a mashkin. Nasib ben Esther, once he's 20 years old, so is Nasib barchiyu with yaraisa. Kidachsiv mi ben Esther shon of a mala. Av mashkin oisai. So that's the three levels when it talks about a katan who is coming of age. Back to our Gemara. Good. So that's the end, that's the conclusion of that shtickle, that Imloyhevi Beisaris were not even Teveya, but we're not Mashkin, Ema Mashkinen, Alpha Pishevi Beisaris, even though he's Bar Mitzvah. If he's not 20, we do not take a Mashkin until he becomes 20 years or older. Says the Gemara, Keni Masnisen. Keni is like the word Toni Masnisen. In our Mishnah, we learned, Ema Mashkin is a Kehan. Now in our Mishnah we said in Mashkin Kahanim because when they darkei sholem. Darkei sholem is not an appropriate term. So this Tani Masisa means that a Braisa explained, or the Braisa said slightly differently. Not Mnei darkei sholem, Mnei derech ha-kovod. We want to give kovod to the Kahanim, and that's why, although the Kahanim have to go and contribute towards the Machsa Shekel, but we don't take a Mashkin. Because of kovod. What's the kovod? So the Tanakh Charetan says two pshatim. Either number one, because it says in the pasuk v'kidashtoi, so the Kahanim are exalted. They're the elite of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, since they're elite, it's pasnished that you go and take collateral from them. Or the second pshat is that because since they are in charge of the avodas hakorbonois, that gives them a certain stature. Maybe as a result also they are not as wealthy as others because they have to disturb their full-time jobs by having to do the avodah beis hamikdash. Anyway, bottom line is we do not take a mashkin from them, not because of darkei sholem, because of derech hakovod. Good. So this, we've finished the first part of the Mishnah. We go back to the second part of the Mishnah. Now that we concluded that we don't take a mashkin from the Kahanim, but it's mashma, the Kahanim do have to give machzeh shekel, so up to Omer Reb Yehuda, that's about the 6th, 7th line in the Mishnah, Omer Reb Yehuda, Heyed ben Bukhri b'yavne, kokoin sheshoikel, any coin that gives the machzeh shekel, ein echoite, he does not do a sin. What do you mean doesn't do a sin? He's doing the right thing, he should be giving the machzeh shekel. Oh, not so simple. Omer Reb Yechim ben Zakkai, Loi, ki ela kol koin she'ena shekel. If you have a coin that does not give the machzeh shekel, choyte, he's sinning. So what's this whole discussion all about? Elish kahanim dorshin mikras eliatzman. Says Rabbi Yechiman Zakkai, the kahanim go and darshin the following pasuk for themselves. In other words, they have somewhat distorted the pshat in the pasuk so that they should be exempt from giving machzeh shekel. What is that? It says in the pasuk, "Chomin chas koyin kol tia lo yisiyachel." If you have a private koyin, bring a korban mincha. The shirayim is not eaten like a minchas Yisrael. The whole thing goes on the mizbeach, just like in the case of a korban oila. So what is? Who cares? Hoyil va'omer ushtei alechem v'lechem aponim shelanu. As we know, the korban oimer after you, the korban oimer, the shirayim of the korban oimer, the shtei alechem on Shavuos, and the lechem upon him every single Shabbos, Shalano, belongs to the Kahanim, and the Kahanim eat from it. Sfreit the Gemara, fraying the Kahanim, if we're going to go and contribute towards the Machzeh Shekel, that means 5%, 10% of the Oymer Shtei Lechem Lechem upon him comes from funds of Kahanim. We won't be able to eat from the Oymer Shtei Lechem Lechem upon him. Nobody will be able to eat from those, because the only ones that are allowed to eat are Kehanim. But if we're paying for it, it's a Minchas Koyin Kol Tiyah. So how will you be able to eat from it? So by using this argument, the Kehanim, not necessarily all the Kehanim, but many Kehanim decided, we are not going to give the Machzeh Shekel. So going back to Rabbi Yehuda said, "Hey, ben Bukhri b'Yavne, kol koyin sheshoikel. Even though a koyin doesn't have to give the machzeh shekel, presumably based on this drasha we just had now, because of kol minchas koyin kol tia. But if he gives the machzeh shekel, ain't a choyte. There's no chait involved, and you can eat from the lechem upon him. The kahanim can eat from the shteilech and from the oimer. Yeah, they don't have a chiyuv to give, but if they give, ain't a choyte. There's no chait." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, forget. You have to give the machtes a shekel. That the kehanim darshan that pasuk, they're darshaning the atzman. In other words, they are using this pasuk or misusing the pasuk because they have a prejudice over here. They don't want to pay the machtes a shekel, so they've come up with this idea, but it's really nisht oskalt and it's wrong. And now the Gemara is going to extend that discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we'll see. Zok Timar. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Hayit, Omer Berechia, Taimed Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai said that the Kohanim do have to give the Machtes Shekel. And if you don't pay the Machtes Shekel, you're a Choyte. Where does Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai take this from? It says in the Pasuk, Zeyitnu. Vishtet Zeyitnu. If you have the Torah Or on the bottom, Torah Or Shalom, Zeyitnu, Koloiva, Bekudim, Machtes Shekel, Shekel, Koydish, Esrim, Gerah, Shekel, etc. So what's the Zeyitnu? Tashimimori Zeh is Begematria 12, right? Zayin and Hey, 5 and 7 is 12. It comes to say, Yud Bei Shvatim Yitnu, all 12 Shvatim. All 12 Shvatim, said Rechon and Zakkai, doesn't mean Ephraim and Menashe, it means the Shevet Levi together with the other 11 Shvatim, everybody has to give, and therefore even the Kahanim have to give. Reb Tevi B'Shem Reb Hamnuna, Kein Meishim Chachamim Le Reb Yehuda. The Chachamim that agreed with Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, they had the following, Kein Meshiva means this is the following kasha that they asked Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda was the one that said that a Kohen is exempt from giving Machtes HaShekel, but if he gives Ein HaChoyte, there's no Chet. And they said to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Lishitas Cha, why is there no Chet? You should not be allowed to go and give the Machtes HaShekel. I'll bring you a Raya. Chattes Yochin Mesa. We know that among the Chomish Chatois Mesois, one of them is if Chas V'Sholem, the Baalim of the Chattas passed away, and Mr. Smith did an Aveira that required him, and he did a Bishogeg, he required him to go and bring a Karm Chattas. He set aside, he bought the Behema for the Karm Chattas. He set it aside, I'm going to go and bring the Beis HaMikdash. Before he had a chance to bring the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, he passed away. So what happens to that Chattas Yochid? Mesa. It's one of the Chomish Chatois. Mesois, and it goes Lamisa. However, what happens if a whole tzibur that bought a Karm Chattas? They wanted to bring the Karm Chattas, and unfortunately a whole tzibur passed away. There was a World War II, Nebuch, millions of Yid Nebuch were killed, Rachman al-Islan, and therefore the old tzibur that did any chait, the Nebuch all passed away. Nevertheless, the new tzibur brings it because ain tzibur meis, Nebuch, even though thousands, millions of Yidin passed away, a new tzibur is there, and they can go and bring their chatzas in chatzas tzibur meis. So what do I see from this halacha? This is a fundamental difference between a chatzas yochid and a chatzas tzibur. So now let's talk about a korban mincha. Mincha se yochid is kreva. A mincha that is brought by the koyin is kreva kolil. A mincha se yochid brought by a koyin is kolil because we said in the pasuk that b'chol minchas koyin kolil tia. So it has to go totally on the mizbeach, it's kolil. However, the minchas atzibur crave a kol. The minchas atzibur, such as those three, which we enumerated in the Mishnah, the oimer, the shtei lechem, the lechem upon him, these are all minchos tzibur. Those don't go on the Beis Midrash, on the Mizbeach. Those are eaten. How can they be eaten? If they're going to go and be eaten, don't they have a problem with chol minchas koyin kol tzibur? So how do you, Rabbi Yehuda, say that if a kohen gives the machtes shekel, ain a choyte, lishitascha, he is choyte, because we're now eating these public minchas kohens. And so you're going to say, no, put that ulta on the mizbeach, go and burn it just like a minchas yochid. But that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the kahanim have to go and eat the shtei lechem and the oimer and the lechem upon him. So they're a choyte, according to you. Why do you say ain a choyte? That's what the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda. If you want to ask a kasha b'yuda lishitascha, then you have to go in accordance with his shita that he holds. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees fundamentally in the case of the chatas. That now we learned in the Mishnah she'ein chatas tzibur mesa. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Thomas. Rabbi Yehuda says that the halacha of chatas tzibur, the same thing as chatas yochid, it also goes lemisa. So you're saying lishitascha, Rabbi Yehuda, you agree that there's a chilik between a chatas yochid and a chatas tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda does not agree to that there's a difference. He holds that both of them go lemisa. Anyway, so therefore, shver, how could they go and ask that kasha on Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara doesn't answer on this ha'ara, but rather the Gemara continues on the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and between the Chachamim. V'hu moisev lan, and what Rabbi Yehuda says back to the Chacham is, Zu loydin dves yachidi. Don't ask me that the shtei ha'lechem and the oimer and the lechem upon him are minchas. They are the product of a nidvas yachid, meaning that you should look upon him as if it was a minchas yachid and should be kolil, because it's not a minchas and a nidvas yachid. Because when people give the money, and now we buy the grain to get the shtei alechem, or the oimer, or the lechem upon him, this is no longer a nidava on behalf of one particular koyin, or for that matter, 6 million individual kehanim leviim yisraelim. This is a nidvas tzibur. They've all been merged together as one. So you can't look upon it as if this carbon is coming from the kohen. This carbon is coming from the ganze tzibur. And therefore, that's why if a kohen gives a machzor shekel, ein echoite, we're going to eat from the shteir lechem, we're going to eat from the lechem upon him. It's fine. There's no problem eating. It's not a nidvas tzibur. I'm sorry, it's not a nidvas yachid. It belongs to the tzibur. No problem. Says the Gemara, the einu misivin lei. So the Chum say back now to Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, kim shenivdu letzibur, kim ishu nidvas tzibur. And therefore, there should be a full-fledged chiyuv. What the Chum are asking to Rabbi Yehuda is, m'marav shech Rabbi Yehuda. You can't have it both ways. Either you come to our side and agree that this drasha of the Kehanim, this was all for their own self-benefit, this was based on their own bias and prejudice, they didn't want to go and give the machzor shekel, and therefore hold that they have an absolute chiyuv to give the machzor shekel. Or, if you hold that the Kehanim were right, then there's an absolute chiyuv not to give the machzor shekel. Because if you give the machzor shekel, you have this problem that the kohanim are eating from prohibited goods. They're eating from their own donations, from the oymishteh lechem lechem upon them, which is kol tiyah. So make up your mind. Either you can give the machzor shekel, they have a chiyuv to give the machzor shekel, or they have a ptur that they're not allowed to give the machzor shekel. But to go and try to be poseach al shteh ha'seifim and say, lechatchila, they shouldn't give. But b'diavad, if they do give, ein echoit esenish gefarlech, it's not a chait. Why? If you hold like we hold, that this is not a nidvas yachad, it's a nidvas tzibur, then you don't have a problem in the first place. And you can go and eat the carbon without any difficulty. Because it's tzibur, it's not an individual kohen, the ganz klal Yisrael. Elamai, if you are choishish to this inyan of a nidvas yachid, so then even b'diavad you're a chote. How do you say in a chote? You're eating now a minchas kohen kol tia. That was their kasha. And the Gemara stops at that point and says, that's the dialogue, no answer. Now the Gemara says, ksif, that this machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Bukhri and Rabbi Yochim and Zakkai of our Mishnah, this really can be, you can find the same machloikis in explaining the pasuk. Ksif, because it says by the giving of the machzor shekel, kolo ivra lapkudim mi ben esrim shana v'mal. Now the question is, what's the definition of oiver al hapkudim? Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yechad Omer kolo ovar biyama. The kol oiver lapkudim means anyone that was zoche to leave Mitzrayim and to go over the Yamsuf, he is an oiver lapkudim. If he's 20 years or older, he's got to go and give machzor shekel. Shoy, who went over the Yamsuf? Everybody, including the Kehanim. So everybody has to give. Yitain. The Chayinom, the other one said, no, called over al Pikudaya Yitain. What means Pikudaya? That means the countings that were done by Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, we're going to go and count the awe of Klal Yisrael, and everybody had to appear, and they had to go there. Essentially a census that was done through the Machzor Shekel. So called over al Pikudaya Yitain. Okay, now as we know in the Torah, it says that the Kehanim were not counted together with the masses of Klal Yisrael. The masses of Klal Yisrael were counted from the age of 20 and above, and the Kehanim were already counted from Ibn Chodesh Vamala, from 1 month. So they're not part of the same Pikudim. And they were not a Pikudim of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were Pikudim by Aharon Ubanav. Says, Okti Gemara, man, the Yama called the Yama, Yitain. that everybody has to give the machzah shekel, including the kehanim. That's right, to Rabbi Yehuda and Ben Bukhri, that the kehanim are potter, since they were not part of the pikudim of 20 Israel, 20 years v'mala. They were their own separate pikudim of Ben Chodesh. So we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai. Any questions? Hearing none, Mitzvah can continue tomorrow. I don't know if Brother Shai is still on, but should we continue tomorrow for 8 o'clock or 8:05? Give a chance for laning and people to get home. What do you say, Barry?
I say 8 o'clock.
Okay, keep it for 8 o'clock for tomorrow and for Friday.
8 o'clock.
Keep it for 8 o'clock, and everybody should just run home quickly, or otherwise they'll hear the tape. So have a wonderful day, Rabbi Isai. I'm sorry, David?
We'll be seeing tomorrow for
Bechorot. Yeah, exactly. Everybody in their own shuls should make a siyum to be able to imoitzi the Bechorim if they need a siyum. This year is very important. People should realize, all the Bechorim should realize, it's Thursday and not Friday. The Kanis is tomorrow, so you need to see him tomorrow. Okay, so have a good day, everyone. Be well. Zagevinched.